Stick a pony in my pocket, I'll fetch the suitcase from the van. Cause if you want the best, instead you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Cause where it all comes from is a mystery. It's like the changing of the seasons and the tides of the sea. But he's the one that's driving me berserk. Why do only fools and horses work? La 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 la.
Sorry.
Good evening, everyone, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good evening. Merry Christmas.
Welcome to another episode of the Jolly Boys podcast, a special edition because we've asked you, the listeners, to vote on Twitter.
Thanks, everyone, for voting.
Yeah,
I think we've had about just under 800 votes.
That's pretty good going.
Awesome.
I can give you the statistics on how
let's have a statistical breakdown, Bailey.
They chose wisely.
So we gave the option of Chain Gang, Longest Night. What else?
Yuppie
Love,
Chain Light. Did I say Chain Night?
I think so.
I don't know. Longest Night, I thought I said.
Anyway,
Chain Gang.
So your choices were, as listeners, The Longest Night, Christmas Cracker, Chain Gang, or Yuppie Love.
Christmas Crackers.
And we had 671 votes, and this is how it went. So The Longest Night received 25%, Christmas Crackers, 12%, Chain Gang, which was the winner, with 33%, and Yuppie Love with 30%. So it's fairly close between Yuppie Love, Chain Gang, and The Longest Night.
Bailey obviously didn't check the results because he tweeted out earlier the wrong episode that we'll be talking about, and then we started watching the wrong episode.
For about 2 minutes, I got it wrong, but yeah. I changed it, and we're all good now.
We've just had a bit of a nightmare, haven't we, with our takeaway.
Christmas takeaway.
No, we made the mistake of changing our...
It's not a mistake.
No.
Well, it could be a really good Chinese, but
could be. Well, we'll catch up at the end of it.
Some of you are negative enough to already...
But it took us about an hour and a half to order.
It took a long time. We had to call back.
My original plan was...
You hung up on them.
My original
plan... so and then they called you back.
My original plan was just to drive there and pick up. That would have been fine. But that was before I was going to lift shit.
And then we just
when we were going to go to the pub, I thought, well, I'll just quickly get mine. You guys do what you want. I should get mine. But of course, we've done it how we've normally done it, and ordered the phone, and it did take a few attempts.
And then we just had a little knock on the door. Bailey answered the door to a very, very West
local,
Country.
A local Fruitmanian.
Yeah. Bailey said, looked at the takeaway bag and went, "Are you Indian?" And the guy went, "No." No, it's the food Indian. Yeah,
sorry.
It is. Well, that's not ours, it's next door's. So we nearly had a free Indian anyway.
Classic. So we were going to go to the pub tonight, but we couldn't make it in time, so he bought the pub to us. So we've all got a little bottle of, looks like Lidl, Bière de Luxe.
Well, it's Christmas.
Are available.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's selected from Asda and doesn't taste that bad. So we've all got a little stubby to celebrate Christmas tonight.
Yeah, and then we've even set the table up tonight for our Chinese, as it's festive. We got some little colourful little plates.
Yeah, and then Spanish ombrettes.
No.
So join us with a beer and listen to this podcast.
So you guys, we also
had a photo shoot just now.
Oh, that went well as well, didn't it? It's been a shambles, so far.
Bailey's hair bun nearly fell out of stress because I'm an inexperienced photographer, and I didn't quite get the shots in frame.
For those who don't know, Bailey is a very freelance photographer, and me and Tom and Ed taking snaps is something completely different to Bailey
really,
taking snaps.
Good,
the framing's not right.
It's like someone making Mr. Kipling a cake.
Yeah.
I had a very vivid vision in my mind of how I wanted these iPhone snapshots to look, but I'll treat them later on so you can all see them and appreciate the framing in them.
This is fools and horses. It's the things that are always wrong with the product anyway, so actually it would have worked if it was a bit out of frame.
Yeah, it's in keeping.
But, yeah.
So you guys excited about Chain Gang? I'm really excited about Chain Gang.
Chain Gang is one of the best 50-minute episodes.
Yeah, so
not
good.
My favourite. Yuppie Love is actually my favourite. This is just brilliant. It's got a great one-off character. It's a really good storyline.
It's very quotable, isn't it?
It's got most of the main characters in it. Like, a bit like a Jolly Boys, you've got Mike, Denzel, partially.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
And there's a bit of different setting as well. So, like, the restaurant where the main scene takes place where Arnie has his heart attack. So it's nice to have sort of a different setting as well. It kind of feels a bit fresher.
And the doorman, what's his name?
Otto.
He's a brilliant character.
Was it? Give me 20 quid, I'll let you in for free.
Yeah.
Where would you lot know?
And we've also got one of our parody accounts, Liquidation Guy.
That's Mr. Grayson. Making his debut tonight, my only, Mr. Grayson.
I've just gone into voluntary liquidation.
The listeners at home should know that Tom does some really, really good Arnie impressions. Oh, yeah. So keep your ears open.
I get Tom. That means keep your ears, not literally.
So instead of the, I think.
Keep your ear to the ground.
When I'm editing this tomorrow, instead of the little jingles between each segment, I think I'm going to get Tom to do some quotes.
You may mistake them for recordings of the episode, yeah. But they're not.
So if the BBC try and contact saying you illegally using quotes, it's like, well, no, actually, I think you're fine.
It's our Rain Man Tom.
How many Fools and Horses items of clothing are you wearing?
I'm wearing.
Well, how many?
I was just going to mention.
How many? Those. Straight question.
None.
No, how many items of clothes are you wearing that are Fools and Horses related?
Oh, two.
Two?
Is that it?
Oh, no, that was pretty worth it, Tom.
So I got for Christmas, I got some official merchandise, Johnny Boys podcast t-shirt and hoodie. These guys look really, really jealous now. I think they're probably going to be ordering some.
You can buy them down Portobello Road for £5 yeah. each if anyone's interested.
And they're cracking, aren't they?
You'll see from the photos that James has got this lovely Johnny Boys podcast hoodie on, and underneath he's got a Johnny Boys podcast t-shirt, which you can't see. And Tom is sporting a Nag's Head t-shirt in navy blue.
I haven't taken this off since Christmas Day.
I thought you stunk earlier on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to grow an Uncle Albert beard, but I'm failing miserably.
Well, that beard is magnificent, Ed. What are you all about?
I gave it a trim, actually, which is completely irrelevant.
Let's talk about Ed's grooming habits. Look out for that section.
Get some fake snow in. Probably love with that beard.
Nobody, I sent you guys one of those placemat face... Sorry, speaking close to the mic. I sent you... you know those party placemat things you can put clip
on your
nose?
Balance on your nose.
I sent you an Albert-related one. No feedback. I assume it was a flop.
That was Christmas Day, Tom. We were busy. We got friends and family.
you've had hours and hours to look back at that video and...
No, it was very good, Tom. Thanks for sending it over.
You know, I need this feedback to improve on future impressions.
To massage his over ego.
Right, let's do Chain Gang then, shall we?
Let's do it.
Off and running. I'm not running a corner shop, Dell. So this is the synopsis for Chain Gang. So Dell and Rodney visit the 111 Club Casino for an evening on the tiles, where retired jewellery dealer Arnie makes Dell an offer he can't refuse. He wants to offload his old stock, 215 18-carat gold chains, at a bargain basement price. The deal's signed and everything's looking lovely-jubbly, until, on handing over the goods, Arnie is taken seriously ill and is carted off to the hospital, along with Dell's money and the chains.
Right, so here we are.
What's that called? You know, like, at the start of the credits when they're, like, doing all this with the money and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Is that called something?
Well, the scene, the sequence.
Yeah.
That's like a montage, isn't it?
Oh, okay.
So, is this the 111 Club they're in now?
Oh, yeah.
111, isn't it? Is it 111 Club?
Yeah.
Look how smoky. I know we're not going to commentate on it, but I don't know, sorry. So smoky in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Trigger's dolled up.
Yeah, he's got blue straps.
He looks like he's on his date, like he's on that episode Dates, isn't he?
Yeah.
Trigger gets away with cheating in this for Dell, doesn't he? Switching the...
You wouldn't get any... It wouldn't happen now.
There'd be cameras everywhere, even back then, I reckon. That's a bit of a vague commentary there. This Trigger, he just leaves the table and he gives Dell some extra chips, doesn't he? Or was it cards? He gives some...
No, he exchanges the cards, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. It's so odd.
The thing I like about this... Sorry, Tom.
That's right.
The thing I like about this scene, this is sort of almost Dell in his secondary habitat. You know, normally he's in the marketplace, wheeling and dealing. But this is him, and I think he says in later episodes as well, where he's out trying to earn us some money, build his connections down the casino, gambling away. To him, this is all part of working. I don't think this is an enjoyable night out for Dell.
Well, he says as such in Fatal Extraction.
Yeah.
He's out in the casinos to the early hours to wait to speak to Ronnie Nelson about the Russian VCR camcorders. Mm. Ronnie Nelson owns the nightclub.
Yeah.
Sorry, the casino. So he has to wait to speak to him until whenever he turns up. So he's been out every night. Same with here, but you were just saying.
And does Raquel appreciate me going out?
No, she
does not.
So yeah, he's in this 111 Club, and he obviously knows about No, he doesn't know about Arnie, does he, at this point? Trigger sort of introduces him.
I don't think Trigger introduced him. I think he has been introduced prior.
Yeah.
Arnie comes over, so he's obviously been introduced at some point.
He's an acquaintance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now...
I think he's just heard about him.
Yeah. Arnie is definitely chancing his arm down here, like thinking I could make, you know...
Yeah. And he's heard Del Boy's a bit of a plonker with a bit of cash sometime.
Yeah. He's done his research.
But it's a bit like Cash and Curry.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah.
So almost unfortunate we just talked about Cash and Curry, but it's a kind of similar story, isn't it?
Del's been targeted again.
Yeah. Only the second time, isn't it? Has it happened any other times?
Well, we are only sort of halfway through series one.
Yeah, I know, but in the whole series, in the whole of seven.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, yes. Turn him back.
Oh, yeah, he does, yeah.
Definitely got targeted.
Turn him back
again.
Meet some characters that you only ever meet once, Otto.
And you get one-off characters, sometimes one-off scene, barely 10 seconds. Mm. And someone like Otto, just shoving the coat, Mr. Grayson's coat to the back, is just... Yeah. It's just funny.
Him out in
a few seconds.
It's absolutely funny. And I think I'm noticing now, we've only been doing this for a few minutes now, but you can see how much more the characters have developed.
Mm.
Obviously, we've jumped through quite a few seasons here to do this special Christmas one.
Series 5 to 6 was a 3 or 4 year gap.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to end the show at the end of Series 5 on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire episode. But Dave Jason made a U-turn.
But you have to say that the characters is so much better to sort of talk about.
Yeah.
I love the early episodes. I think mainly they're your favourite. For me, these later ones are my sort of staple. What I grew up with, actually laughing out loud, you know, with my parents on the sofa on a Saturday evening, around the telly.
I love the respect that Del Boy's got around Peckham. Because as soon as Otto found out that Rodney was his brother, he's like, oh, in that case, have a nice evening, sir.
Yeah.
Because he's related to Del.
I wonder what Del's done to gain that respect, though, because he's always bunging people a few quid to help them out. Is it literally just...
I think he was...
a nice guy, but...
It's like in Fatal Extraction, like when he's coming back and there's that riot and they all part ways. That's why Del Boy's going.
I think a lot of it is down to... we hear it in some of the other episodes where... even... What's the name of those two brothers? O'Driscoll brothers. Like, he gets out of a hole because he helped out... their mum, when their dad was inside, or they were in Borstal, or they were sent away.
Yeah.
So I think he was always 15, 16 life. Years old, making sure that people had, you know, enough supplies, and they, you know, he'd let them have something on credit for a long time. So I think he's built up this over probably about 25 years by this point.
He's
imagine
planted seeds everywhere in life.
You can remember what he sold Terry Hoskins' mum. And may the force be with you.
I wouldn't say microwave oven, but that's what he was looking for, wasn't it?
It's like a gas fireplace or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, gas oven.
Gas oven, that's it. Nice bit of trivia there from
Billy. Darwin, I promised myself I wasn't going to talk about his clothes, but he is all his finery, isn't he?
He's got all out.
Yeah.
Beneath all this finery.
And I was a Burke.
That surprises you, doesn't it?
Alan Perry's character... not seen but heard for the first time, who I think is quite a good addition to the...
So did Del actually know Alan Parry previously, or was he
he does say...
But is that not something that people say? Walks with a squint?
One brown eye, one blue eye.
Yeah. But isn't that's like a saying though, isn't it?
I don't know. It makes sense if you didn't know him, because when you see them first together in whatever episode it is, it's like they don't know each other at all.
Yeah, because I've heard it before. One brown eye, one blue eye, walks with a...
I don't know.
I've heard it before somewhere, not off this.
Well, it sounds convincing that he knows of him. But in the show, is he supposed to be a little bit older than Del? At least 10, 15 years older.
What year was this aired?
It's 1989, Series 6.
Because the actor who plays Alan Parry was in... the Batman film.
Was he?
I think he was in the first Batman film. He played one of the journalists or the journalist boss where... What's her face? Pfeiffer, wasn't it?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer worked, yeah.
You know, that's a different episode now, but Dr. Meadows. I'm sure he was in one of the old Batman films.
Yeah, he probably was.
I'm sure he was. He's
in Titanic as well, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when the...
Captain at the end.
I'd like to apologise in advance. I've got a bit of a Christmas cold and trying to cough off trying to cough off mic into my jacket.
So Arlie's playing it really nicely here because he said, "Look, I've got I'm semi-retired. I've got a legitimate health issue, and my two was it what name of the kids?
Young Stephen and Gary.
Young Stephen and Gary to look after. Portrays them as being, you know, of that age, maybe teenagers where they need their father around, and he's come for a fresh start." Which begs the question of why did he move to Peckham? It's not exactly, yeah, you know, fresh air and countryside, is it?
I think, yeah, but there's a lot more to Peckham than just the council estate, isn't there? Because Boycey lives within range of Peckham, doesn't he?
Kings Avenue might be
every town has got a posh end and maybe not so posh end.
Yeah,
I'm done.
It does look like an horrible place, though, doesn't it? The 111 Club.
I kind of like that kind of old classic vibe. That kind of.
But I don't think it's class. It was meant to be classy then, though, wasn't it?
In the 80s, I suppose that is quite posh.
Yeah, I guess so.
Dell's given a bit of a look there to Rodney when Arnie comes to the bar. Did Arnie just sing?
Yeah, he's just saying,
what a wonderful world. Dell's thinking, God, he's following me about here. Like, Dell seems a little bit. Can't shake him off here, you know?
Dell's gone, I've had enough of being friendly. Right, are you still in the game or what? What's going on there?
Cheers, bro.
It's such a good scene, though, the way it sort of pans around the room. It doesn't really cut to anything. It just pans around to different scenarios. And it follows Dell and Arnie around and Rodney.
Tom, what's the actor's name? He plays Arnie.
David McCall.
Let's just check.
McGough. It's G-A-U-G-H. Definitely cut this bit out.
He's a good sport and he does a lot of the conventions. Maybe we should try and get him on here.
Yeah.
I have.
Have you tried?
I assume it's his
Is he not the last?
Because he was in Jonathan Creek, wasn't he, one of the episodes?
Yeah.
I loved her.
Philip McGough. It could be McGough, but we think it's McGough.
McGough. Sounds like something you do after McDonald's.
Now, this series, because we're talking chain gangs, a lot of the external shots are Bristol. And they're outside a hotel in Bristol, which for this episode is actually 111 Club. And I've been into this hotel.
Have you?
Yeah, I went quite a few years ago. A mate of mine, there's an old reality show called, is it Don't Tell the Bride?
Yeah.
My mate applied for it and he had to be interviewed. He has to bring like his two of his best mates and you win like a wedding package, but the groom has to. And we were in that hotel being interviewed. This is like 10 years ago. We didn't obviously get through. But I was like, oh, this is where they filmed. I knew at the time it's definitely a crap segment.
Did you talk about that in your audition?
I thought this is like in the same scene as Yuppie Love as well. They use that when Mickey, Jevon and Rodney are in the club.
Did you know that this is very well?
Rodney's getting all passionate with Cassandra in the car saying goodbye because she sees off to Guernsey?
Guernsey, yeah.
That's right, for a conference. Is it a conference or is it? Well, Rodney,
of course. Yeah. This kind of sets a scene for the major gaff up later on where Rodney's paranoid about what she might get up to and he's heard that there's orgies and all sorts at these conferences. And Raquel, Cassandra's not exactly doing anything to sort of waylay his fears.
She did ask Guernsey to come flying to her, but it refused point blank.
You know what I mean.
What a great visual bit of slapstick with Dell blowing the smoke through the window when they're about to kiss.
It's little moments like that, isn't it, that just make it that...
Even Rodney's cough makes you laugh. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, like I say, it's absolute comedy gold when Dell Boy's just stood out the side of the window blowing smoke. He's got no...
Dale's learned his lesson from the Cash and Curry meeting businessman because he does not want to meet Arnie on his own, does he?
No,
dark. I mean, he just met the geezer. You know, he's definitely learned a couple of lessons from a young Dale, hasn't he?
Yeah. He needs his little big brother.
Mm.
Do you think that's an image thing as well, though? Just
probably. Look how he's wearing his coat like something out of The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to look a bit business gangster like, isn't he? It is all about image, as he throughout Series 6, he is saying it is all about image.
Yeah, so they're with Arnie, and what car has Arnie got? Of course, he's got a Jaguar, hasn't he?
Had to be.
A guy like that.
I love the way he's sat in the back of the car, and the window comes down.
Yeah, half asleep.
Yeah.
Hop in.
Semi-conscious.
I just noticed something which is quite interesting on this. The first scene that you see of Arnie, his face is half lit. And with somatics in films, when you see someone like that, it goes to show that that character or that individual's got like two sides of his personality. Really? So it's the first instance of showing that he's evil or he's not trustworthy or he's not as straight as he's making out he is.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah. Next time you watch a film and you see someone's a character at the start of a film where their face is only half lit, so split lighting, something will happen with some significance to that character later on in the film.
As a top tip there, Bailey. And also the camera angle is quite funny, isn't it, on this one? The Jag, it's almost like it's on blocks on one side.
Yeah, a proper car park, like a... tarmac, didn't
that? Not running the corner shop now.
The first time I saw it, I was really, really excited because I genuinely thought Dell was going to buy something decent and he was going to make a good profit on it and nothing was going to go wrong. How wrong was I?
Mm.
Were the chains actually any decent?
Yeah,
the
pucker,
the real McCoy.
Yeah, he got them tested by
the stones are good. That's where Arnie was really clever because he made sure that whoever he was trying to, you know, con, they were going to check the basics.
Here's Albert counting up his cash. How much money is Albert? Albert.
First time we've seen Albert.
125 pounds.
How much, Tom?
I've only been able to get £125, 85 pounds if I.
25
new opinion. Might be that. You miscalculated
the interest. Not anymore, you haven't.
So as soon as
well, thank God for the Great Gatsby.
So we're back in the flat now, and Albert's counting the money, and Rodney's walking around like a lost soul because he hasn't spoken to Cassandra. But I think you can see straight away that he regrets not being involved in the deal and contributing money to the rest of the consortium. So he's sort of like festering around, isn't he, just to see what happens.
The thing that bothers me about Rodney's character is he's very, very conscientious about the environment, doing the right thing. Later on, when he's the managing director of Trotters Independent Traders, he wants to do things right way, and he wants to do it advertising in the paper, which Dell doesn't agree with. But Dell always wants to go down the sort of the back alleys to get the good deals. But at certain points, he will twist. He will flip himself. And, for example, when Cast of 62, when they're having the bother with Slater about the divorce, and Del Boy says, negotiates with Slater about...
about his terms.
Such a long point.
About his terms. About...
You're right,
Tom. That's all
I'm doing. I thought you have a heart attack.
I was looking away for it the whole time. You didn't even get further from the mic. And the flip side is...
I was staring at Bailey. I had desperation in my eyes. That's going to help me. Someone jump in and go, yeah, I know what you're trying to say, James. You get the impression all is not going according to plan.
So basically, Rodney is very conscientious when it suits.
That's a very good point, Ned.
You mean comfortable start?
Yeah. Oh my God, that was hard work. That was.
We're still recording.
Yeah.
Am I right by thinking that Boycie is the only one who's slightly suspicious of Arnie?
Yeah, he's
of the whole consortium.
Yeah, no,
he's
right.
Tight with his money, isn't he?
Rightly so. We hardly know the man. I think that's the line anyway.
There's definitely a reason why Boycie's the successful one out of Trigger, Dell, Denzel, etc.
Do you remember how Mike gets the money? Doesn't he do something really drastic to raise funds?
Who, Mike?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think Mike's always got a few quid, hasn't he?
But doesn't he leave the scene saying that he has to go and do something? Oh, he's got to get his car unclamped.
Yeah, he's got his car unclamped.
So how much money would that have cost him?
Well, a couple hundred quid, probably.
Not them.
Yeah. Well,
50 quid, that's it.
Well, but regardless, a lot of money back then, plus the money that he's lost from the deal.
How much did he put in, Mike?
I don't know.
Grand, I think.
Did he?
That's right. So Boyce, he puts in 7. Dale puts in 4. Mike puts in a grand.
So that's 12,000.
12.
Rodney and Albert must make 12. Up the rest.
Albert, Trigg, Rodney, a few hundred between them.
Yeah. Odds and sods.
That would be a good question if you're doing the quiz. How much did Rodney put in? Is this very...
Well, how much is the Albert
anymore, we are not.
Well, one of the first relatively... It's a surprise in the sense that... Just for once, an item that Dale was looking to buy is actually kosher, pucker. Mm. It's the real McCoy. He's not going to get stung. It's not like we keep referring to cash and curry, but it's not like a...
You think this plan can't go wrong because they've sort of got everything sorted, haven't they?
Yeah, what can go wrong? Arnie is going to get a phone call in a moment. We're watching this as we go as ever. That his wife's just so happened to have received a contact from... Mr. Made up person who Arnie introduces. Oh,
Stavros.
Stavros.
Yeah. Very good.
Mr. What's Stavros. Arnie's wife called?
Pam.
Yeah.
We're not going to.
I don't care how much. I've just this minute. Sorry, then.
We're not going to be down as Arnie and Pam.
But Arnie comes across as like a really nice guy. It kind of like. I mean, I didn't see it coming the first time it happened. I thought they'd either lose them or. I don't know what I thought, but I obviously knew that they wouldn't win. The Trotters wouldn't win, but I didn't think that...
This has got to be the only second time that Mike has been in the flat. The other time being T for 3. I can't think...
I'll tell you another for time. The funeral, Granddad's funeral.
Yeah. Three times.
Mike, how can you talk about money at a time like this?
You'll be giving me a discount for cash next, yeah. Won't you? A lot of deviating from this episode today, mostly from me.
The flat looks surprisingly tidy. Mm. It looks like he's had a whip round the Hoover, and it's quite bland. He's just got like a bare table.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on in there, is there?
Well, he's made at least $4,000 in the recent times, so he's sold everything he's had.
So Rodney's just saved the day by adding his extra funds to top.
How much is it? £6?
I don't know. Yeah,
that means we are £36 and... Short of the target.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
You can count me.
When the Great Gatsby film was re-released a few years ago, all I could think of was this scene where Dale takes the mick out of him for being this hero.
It's just everything in your body. When you watch it back, you go, just take it. Don't say, sorry, you know, F Mr. Stavros. I'll just take the chains out. There's nothing stopping doing that.
One thing that does concern me, at the moment, listeners, so we're watching them all sat around the table and Arnie's just presented the chains to them all once he's taken the money. If I was a part of that consortium, the fact that Arnie took the money, didn't even count it, put it straight into his pocket and wasn't fussed that the fact that one of the coins wasn't even English would kind of ring alarm bells in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's playing it cool, though.
It could backfire on you badly, couldn't it? You want him to count the money to make sure it's all there, especially with that much money.
I mean, you would expect them to, but he's given off the impression that he's still got a part to play in this. He's still got a massive part of the show to do. In the sense, he's got to make them trust him to take the briefcase to meet Mr. Stavros. So he's like, I trust you guys, you know, and now please trust me. Let me meet Mr. Stavros to make the money.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point. Yeah, it's all about trust, isn't it?
I've just this minute sold them, Pat.
Hey, what?
So this is Arnie freaking out on the phone, talking to his apparent wife, Pat.
Pam, isn't it? Or is it Pat?
Pat.
Pat, that's it.
The phone! Always hearing things again. They're all looking at each other, the consortium, thinking, what's going on here?
Trigg has no idea, does he?
No.
He's just getting along with it as ever.
So what are you saying?
Boyce, like I say, Boyce's successful businessman, if it was up to him, Dale was very much leading the consortium. He put the consortium together, but... If this was Boyce's, he would have gone, no, sorry, your problem. It's YP. It's your problem, and I'll keep the chains and I'll make my money.
It's pretty quick-witted for Dell to think of that plan, though, about him taking the chains to Stavros whilst they're keeping it on Arnie.
Worst case for Arnie is if they did want to meet Stavros, he'd have made 12.5 grand, yeah? I wonder how much the gold chains, because they are, we're led to believe Dell's had them checked out, that they are real. So I wonder how much they are cash value.
Well, 25 grand, isn't it?
No, but he says that. He wants to make it sound like a great deal, doesn't he? I was just thinking, you know, in an alternate reality.
Yeah, more than 25, otherwise there's probably no point in buying them.
Hmm. I guess so.
Well, I think they still have to sell them, he's put them through the fence, don't they?
That's the information from Arnie, that they're worth 25. They might only be worth 5 grand.
Yeah, with a, I'd say minus the 20% VAT.
It's all about the speed of the transaction. Mm. They're up to make big money quick with this, whereas if they had kept the chains and sold them on, yeah, take forever.
I mean, if someone offered you
double
a box of coins, then you can buy them for 12 quid.
Yeah.
Because, oh, hang on, I was going to give them to someone else. How about I take them for you now and I'll give you 25 quid for them in a bit? You, yeah.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, the reason I only said they were so cheap to Den and Rodney at the beginning in the car park, sat in the cars, because they hadn't paid VAT on them.
Or was it import duty?
VAT.
I'm pretty sure it's VAT.
Never paid the VAT.
Oh, right, yeah. So 25 grand after that. So another 20% on that. Or whatever the VAT. Oh, I don't want to. Why am I talking about VAT?
They weren't. No income tax.
Yo.
No money back.
No guarantee.
What is Dale's drinking? He's had about 3 or 4 different drinks so
far. Pina colada.
Whatever Dale's drinking looks like, I mean, glow in the dark. It's like a bright bubblegum pink colour.
Looks like your Chinese you just had, Bailey.
It's another one of his erotic cocktails.
Battery acid.
Arnie's sort of smirking in the background because Dale's presenting this new plan and Arnie knows.
He's still all the hard work for him, isn't he?
Yeah, Dale's completely taking the bait.
So what would Arnie have expected out of this, like, from his fake phone call? Was he encouraging them to come up with this idea, or did he just want them to go, oh, just, no, he wouldn't have got anything out of that, would he?
I'm sure Arnie would have had a plan if Dale wouldn't have.
Well, it sets
what
it
would
up.
Have been the plan, though, honestly? Like, if they said, well, we don't want to meet Stavros, and, like I said, he would have obviously had 12 and a half grand in his back pocket. But as long as those chains were worth less than that, he's still made a profit.
They're all concerned.
Apparently, they're worth 25 grand. That's what I'm saying. They might not be. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I could say the consortium, they've been charmed by Arnie and they think he's a nice guy. So they're worried about what Mr. Stavros will do to Arnie.
Yeah.
So that's probably why they want to do this as well, so that he doesn't get.
But they don't care if they redecorate Regent Street with Arnie.
Well, Boise done.
Now, this is in Bristol. They've seen now is in the. To take the restaurant, isn't it? It's not actually in a Bristol location. Just for
where
the nerds out there, I don't know. And it's somewhere in London. It's not Bristol. Wonder why they. Most of Series 6 is Bristol external. So I wonder why they couldn't just find somewhere in Bristol to do this.
Might have been recording schedules and things like that, I guess, isn't it?
We're West Country folk on this podcast. So for me, it matters that it's Bristol.
Nice Range Rover outside.
I was going to point that out. That's at the moment. It's weird though, because that Range Rover's there now.
Yeah.
But in a minute, you'll see Dale, Albert and Rodney. There they are, just behind.
Albert.
Albert peering through. This is one of my favourite Albert quotes coming up. When it all goes a bit wrong, I absolutely love Albert's quote. Which is, you get the impression all is not going according to plan. Beautiful head movement in there as well.
Rodney just rolls his eyes.
I tell you what would have put a massive twist on this episode. Imagine if Mike's car didn't get clamped.
Mm. Well, it had to get clamped though, didn't it?
But if it didn't, he could have followed the ambulance and could have caught up with him
straight away. No, because he goes through red lights anyway.
He could follow an ambulance behind red lights. Especially if he's got your money and your gold chains.
Boyce's, when there's his money on the table, he won't let it go, will he? He will do anything to make sure he doesn't lose a quid.
People might think that we're...
a bit, you know.
It's another very clever story written by John Sullivan. And like I mentioned previously in the Cash and Curry episode, you don't just think up a story like that overnight. He must have had some sort of experience with someone conning Vim or Malik. That way, And I think it's very similar with this episode. It's quite a creative concept, isn't it? Of the whole idea of selling chains to someone, making out he'd already sold them to someone else. Whilst all that's going on, someone fakes their own death to get away with the money and the jewellery.
John Sullivan grew up in South London and David Jason grew up in North London, if I'm right in thinking.
Yeah.
And they were around the same age, I think. And they both knew what happened in their respective area. They had a very similar working class upbringing. Yeah. So they probably heard of these stories. John Sullivan, at an early age, probably heard of this people going around selling these chains and getting people to buy them.
Or maybe John's dad had probably heard lots of stories, didn't even back in the day.
Yeah, well, like I say, it happened all over South London, I imagine, in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Yeah. Changing the subject a little bit and going a little bit off track, but from what I can remember, John Sullivan was a real sort of family man, wasn't he, growing up? He was always like with his family and having social gatherings out in the street with his neighbours and stuff. So I would have thought they probably would have exchanged lots of stories from his granddad to his dad. So maybe that's where he got some inspiration for writing some of these crazy, crazy episodes.
Well, I think if you get a basic plot line, you can go really, you know, when you're, you know, that clever at writing, you can kind of make the rest up.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You can add bits of fiction in
of course,
to make it even more interesting.
What do you do, mug Mr. T?
So we're at the scene now where they're just trying to work out how many chains that Dell can afford. And he's struck a deal on taking them all for, how much is it, £12,500?
Yeah.
For you guys that are geeks with cars, I know this is a little bit, bit of a strange, but there's some really nice cars in this.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mike's got a Ford Escort RS Turbo. There's a Sierra Cosworth in the car park of the 111. And obviously, Arnie's got his Jag. So, yeah, just a random few car fans.
So we just hit the scene where Rodney is furious with Dale because he's got no idea that Dale has been squirreling that amount of money away because they've been living off scraps for months.
It's more like an ostrich egg.
And I'd be pretty annoyed, to be honest, if I was living off pot noodles for a while and finding out that my brother had loads of money squirreled away for an emergency such as this.
£5,000.
He's always got a bit pugged away, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, Dale's a smart cookie.
Busby sent it down the line, didn't he? I'm glad you know, I thought that would have been like lead balloons.
You give me £20, I'll let you in free.
I was going to say, John Challis records, if you've seen, I probably should say this at all, just off the record, we've all seen Challis live when he says he was at a wedding and the bride wanted him to do this quote, stand back, I'm a doctor. She jumped out of the skin and fell over and cracked her head open and said to go to hospital.
Pass me a matchmaker, please, Aaron.
Why, what happened? Well, she fainted.
Basically, he was at a wedding.
Yeah, I do remember him vaguely saying.
And the groom said, can you go up to my wife? And said, she loves this chain gang. She loves it when you say that. And he went up to her and said, stand back. And she didn't expect to see him. Well, she was startled and she fell over and cracked her head open. Well, something happened. She went to hospital.
Oh, dear.
He says that story in the Only Fools and Boys here.
Here's a question. Who has the best heart attack? Albert in The Longest Night or Arnie in this?
Let's do another poll. See if Longest Night wins this time.
Get a little bit closer to the microphone, Tom. Let's play that one again.
Visually, that was brilliant.
Tom, but look, you're melting.
Arnie's heart attack, Boise's.
Oh, he's having a coronary.
Oh, yes, very naughty. We need an operation. Just basically undoing
Rodney and Albert. Are sat in the car thinking, what on earth is going on in there? They must be serious.
If you just watch that and you see Boise getting smacked by that big bloke.
Yeah.
Theatrical punch.
Yeah, it was quite theatrical, wasn't it?
I mean, my nose might be broke.
Baseball bat, knuckle duster.
Stay all right. Stand back. I am an officer of the law. It's a really good, it's almost like, feels like an improvised scene, doesn't it?
She's a bit of heightist, that lady, isn't she? Well, they're taller than that.
You have to be a certain height then, didn't you, to be a policeman?
That's a brilliant scene where John Chalice, Boycie, gets his face squashed up under the glass.
Yeah.
You get the impression all is not going according to plan.
Especially after his nose broken.
We get him back to the station, we'll give him a right good idea.
He's mugging the poor man.
So Arnie's had his coronary. Oh, matchmaker stuck in the back of a brain now. So Del Boy and Boycie have left because the people were twigging that they were trying to get the briefcase off him, and the ambulance has arrived suspiciously fast.
And whilst all this is going on, you can see in the background that Mike is getting his car clamped.
Oh yeah, I never noticed actually. You can see in the background now.
Be honest, Roy. Be honest. When you first watched this, I mean, I was a young lad watching this, very young. At this point, I was still like, oh, he's had a heart attack. That's a friend of Span in the Works. I wouldn't have clocked that as he was a con man at this point.
No.
I mean,
well, the ambulance turns up, isn't it?
But as a young lad, like, I've watched Rules and Nonsense since, you know, a very young boy. When I watched Series 6, which is the most watched series in my household, first time, I was not a con man. He's had heart attacks. That's unfortunate. I wouldn't have said he's been a con.
But then,
even though the nature of the show is, they're going to.
I wonder what the feeling was of people watching it at the time when it first came out. Obviously, we don't know because we were just a little boy then, weren't we?
we were all snot and Marmite back in the day.
But obviously, before social media and all of that, I wonder what the reaction was to people watching it at home.
Well, they're probably going, this is a bit convenient. He's still got the chains.
But were they, though? Because obviously, comedy was a lot simpler then, wasn't it?
Well, glad you're sticking up for me because you could have easily gone. Well, it's obvious, Tom. You know, probably think quick tweet.
It gets to the hospital, say he's okay, and then run off with the money and the chains.
Mm. Yeah, that's why I think adults would have thought, but young lads like me, like 7, 8, 9, watching this innocently, go, that's a shame. A bit like Cash and Curry again. Top reference, Cash and Curry. I don't know. That's no point. Let's take that bit out. It's rubbish. A bit like Cash and Curry. What? I don't know. What a great scene back at the flat where they're all in a bit of a state because they don't know what to do and they're trying to come up with ideas of how to contact Arnie at the hospital.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed this scene. Trying to figure out ways, and Albert comes up with the brainwave.
Which you're totally not expecting, are you?
No.
You can just feel their frustration there, can't you? All that money, that potential profit they had, and it's been snatched from their hands. They literally, it was done. The deal was done. They had the chains. They could have walked away. And then Arnie's had a heart attack. Now they're almost torn between, we need to ring up, find out where he lives, and be extremely sympathetic, but get our money back at all costs, or get the chains back at all costs.
What a great con, though. Like, it worked brilliantly for them, didn't it?
The superb superb acting all the way through this scene, where they're all crowded around the phone.
I just bloody love him.
The facial, like John Chalice.
We're watching it on mute, but they're acting so well from their facial expressions. You know exactly what's going on, despite not hearing what they're saying.
David Jason leading it all, really, isn't he? But, you know, everyone around him.
David Jason's pretending to be as nice as he possibly can to try and get some information out of this doctor who's just phoned up.
Did he have any personal possessions on him? Like 250 gold chains.
I think it's so frustrating, isn't it, when you're on a really important call or someone else on a really important call and you're just really wanting to know what they're talking about.
What would you do in this situation, guys? This was you.
I wouldn't be giving up. I mean, if I was like Mike, for example, you'd just be hanging on in there for someone to come up with an idea. You think, right, at that point, they don't know Arnie's a con artist at this point, correct?
Yeah,
they think, oh, that's annoying. He's had a heart attack. He's in hospital. They're not one of them are speculating that he's dodgy. I mean, Boycie might be in his head, but ultimately they're like, surely they must be thinking, well, we're going to find him eventually. Yes, there's 25 hospitals in London. Thank God for the Tory Party. There could be 30, etc. But they're not going to give up hope. If they're to get to every hospital, it might take them a week. But they all, in their minds, they'll find him eventually. He's going to be in the hospital for a good couple of weeks. They'll find him.
The phone!
I was just about to hear.
Rodney's lost 35 quid, so he's out of it. He looks the most upset out of all of them.
That's probably his wage for the week for Dale's payment.
Well, I think he's probably more concerned about the money that Dale's lost, because that little bit of money there was squirreled away by Dale, and he knows that could pay all their bills or do a good few, you know, quite a few shopping trips, etc. Get off! And they tried to, Albert has the great idea about doing the 1471 or whatever is the number. Because he realised that Arnie called Pat just before they left.
Yeah.
Dale Boy tries to call the last dialed number and it gets through to which hotel? Was the name of the hotel in Guernsey?
Highcroft.
Highcliff?
Highcliff Hotel, Guernsey.
I did Google that, but it doesn't exist.
Doesn't it?
No.
You might have to explain to some of the younger listeners, James, what happens when you dial 1471.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm not going to do that. I'm sure everyone needs to watch this.
You can Google it. Albert just says it's a redial button anyway.
It's
a BTN thing, isn't it? So they probably can product placement that bad boy.
Rodney's picked up Cassandra from the airport from her, what was it, week seminar?
In Eastbourne.
No, that's Eastbourne.
Seminar, too. Seminar in Eastbourne, oh, that's Miami twice, yeah. Sorry.
And, as they're driving through London, they pull up behind an ambulance and there we see Arnie again, getting the same treatment. You thought he'd take it easy in his condition, as Trigger says later on.
Poor old Trigger, he's so just off the mark, isn't he? Or a little, not just behind, he's so innocent, isn't he?
Yeah, bless him.
For me, this is peak Trigger, because he's not too stupid, where they kind of made it, not a little bit ridiculous, but maybe it's almost doing it entirely for comical laughs, but this is a more subtle, stupid Trigger. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, brilliant. You want to take him home.
Towards the end, he always gets set up like they pulled him out for like a, you know, Trigger's laugh kind of thing. Where are the chopsticks in the final episodes where he's trying to invent something?
So you've got Denzel.
I was going to talk about something different.
Yeah, come on, boys.
So Denzel's in the Nag's Head. Obviously, he's been away, so he has no idea what's been going on. He's asking around if someone will have a drink with him or what's going down, and everyone's saying, some other time, Denzel, some other time. So, yeah, he's wondering what's happened to, you know, what what people think of him. Or
isn't he in there to try and talk about some business, the new business proposition?
Yeah.
And that's what it is, isn't it? Yeah. He's really desperate to talk to someone, but everyone's so annoyed about their situation with Arnie. No one's got time to listen to him.
If only they knew what it was they wanted to talk about.
And Rodney just leaves him with Cassandra. Yeah. Oh, this is Denzel, this is Cassandra. Right, I'll see you in a bit.
Bit risky, isn't it?
Yeah. So I love that Rodney's still hanging around this, even though he's only lost 35 quid. Still hanging around going, I want to get my money back.
So we reached the part in the episode where they're all sat round the table and they're all coming to the realisation that Arnie is probably a con man. And Dale's explained to the rest of them that his two sons are most likely the two people who drove the ambulance in and carried him away.
Boycie's kind of, no, that's not happened, surely, isn't he? He kind of denies that it is a scam, doesn't he? Because where would they get an ambulance from?
Mm-hmm.
Dale says, well, you can pick up an ambulance anywhere.
Yeah, and then, Boycie looks up and says, you can pick up these second-hand ambulances for next to nothing these days.
Yeah, but just before that, he was doubting it was a con.
Was he?
Yeah.
What were the chances when Rodney picks up Cassandra and he's in the traffic, the chances of seeing Arnie in, like, whole of London playing that scam again?
Maybe it was the main road. He was coming back from the airport, wasn't he? So yeah. you do get these coincidences in life, don't you? And it could have happened.
Yeah.
But if Arnie had any sense, he probably would have stayed well away from the area. But I don't know where. Is it Heathrow or is it Gatwick?
I think it should come out from Gatwick.
I don't know how close that is to Peckham.
Closer than Heathrow.
Mm-hmm. So Arnie didn't do his homework. Or maybe he's just feeling greedy that day.
Denzel walks out now. He's going to Germany. And then, so he's going to Germany. He's going to come back and he's sorted out.
What was he doing going to Germany for? Just picking up a load? He's not having to do the gold chains at this point.
I don't think so.
No. That's the point. Cassandra said he's going over to Germany to pick up 250 gold chains.
But when he comes back.
Oh, when he comes back. On the way back, yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
this is one of the rare occasions where they kind of come out on top because you imagine that they got their money back or at least got the chains.
Yeah, they come back on a win, don't they?
Normally it's like the other way around. So Cash and Curry, I know we keep talking about Cash and Curry, they lose money. Actually, no, because to Hull and back as well, they come out with four little sparklers.
Mother Nature's son. I mean, for all we know, he's got away with selling tap water to the public.
And the Frog's legacy, they kind of come away with nothing. Although they know there's stuff out there for them.
I guess that's, again, John Sullivan making sure that it's never predictable. You don't quite know how it's going to turn.
And then we kind of cut to the next scene where Gary and little Stephen in the... Obviously, they've done this procedure a million times now, or several times. So they're sort of joking. Next time, you do the doctor. Did you know the deceased very well?
Yeah, he just ran back to the ambulance and said, did you get the signal from Dad?
Yeah. Yeah, about 4 minutes, I reckon. When we met Paul Barber, I remember I shook his hand and my whole, half my arm disappeared into his hand.
Yeah, the man has got huge hands.
Clutching that briefcase for all time.
So Arnie's being carried off again by his two sons, which we know are his sons this time, with his briefcase in his hands. Ambulance drives off.
And then in the back of the van, one of my favourite bits where he's lying there, smiling, wonderful. Such a cheesy face. And then the realisation when he sees Dale and Boise there.
That was a huge surprise for me when I first saw that, because you were not expecting them to be inside that ambulance, and you feel so happy that they've managed to catch them.
Yeah.
And they've played them at their own game. They've got their one step ahead of them. And the two sons are really confused at what's just happened.
Yeah.
And then some of his brothers approached them and, come on, fellas, get in.
How much damage would they have done to Arnie physically, or do you think they were just... scared him out of the area, so do this again.
No, I think they've obviously got the money back, and they've got the change.
I wonder
back.
What the outcome was. I wonder.
I reckon they got the chains.
Well, I don't think they would have hurt Arnie, but I don't know if they would have taken the chains and the money.
Oh, for sure.
Do you think?
Yeah. Well, as a payback, you tried to con us out of 12.5 grand. We're getting you back with interest.
I think it would have been.
I think Arnie would have probably offered them the chains or the money. As an apology to not hurt him.
They would definitely take the chains though to stop them doing it again, I think.
Scores out of 10 for that episode.
For me, I like that one.
For me, that's 8.5, 9.
Okay. So what are you saying?
So what I'm saying is, yeah, it's just for an episode that's not a special, just a standard episode, 50 minute, very strong. Okay, that's 9 out of 10.
That's a 9.3 for me. It's one of my favourite episodes of all time. It's up there with a special.
Okay, Bailey?
After you, Ed.
Okay. I'm going to have to give this the full 10.
Oof, he's got in hard.
Absolutely love it. I can't. If I could give it 11 out of 10, I would. I absolutely love it. Still to this day, and I'm glued to it.
Do you prefer that to Jolly Boy's outing?
That's a good question.
Equal.
So you got to set. If we were to do all these episodes, which we hope we will.
Yeah.
You're going to say 10 at least twice.
Yes.
Wow, interesting.
At least twice.
I think I've saved my 10 for only one episode.
Okay.
Because I think there is one episode in there in this Jolly series. I'll reveal it at the time.
I know which one it is.
We'll reveal it at the time.
We'll see what it is, yeah.
Might not be the obvious one.
Snowbuster Chingford.
Yeah, Cash and Carry. Did I not say that? No, but for me, I think there's only one 10 in this. But there's a lot of 9.5s, 9.8s.
Okay.
I could never give a perfect 10 because I couldn't honestly say if I had to watch one episode, okay. I know what it'd be.
But with this episode in particular, which, as it contains a lot of the cast, which one of the casts are your favourite?
Albert in this.
Yeah.
Well, personally, because it's his first appearance that we've done, it's not his first appearance in it, but the ability, his character acting and his visual comedy is stunning. Like his facial expressions, even from shooting in the restaurant, out the window, looking into the van, you can see him and you can imagine his face and what's going through his mind. But it's just so clever. Yeah. But they all are. But Albert is my favourite in this.
Can I give it my score now?
Oh, no. Sorry, Brady.
I thought you'd done yours. Sorry.
No. Yeah.
Who was that?
It wasn't me. It was him.
I think I'm going to give this episode a 9 out of 10. Again, it's one of my favourite episodes because of the character development, the acting, the story is amazing, and the ending. The Trotters win. We don't know how much they win by, but it's one of the very few episodes where they come away with more than they started with. So yeah, I give this one a 9.
Yeah, it's a very good episode.
Then the vicar said, well, I might have someone to part my part.
Eyes down for a full house somewhere. Off and running.
Right. On the line, we got James Sterling. James, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, good evening, boys. How
are
you doing?
Yeah, very well, thanks. And you are going to be taking on Bailey today. Bailey's feeling up for the challenge.
James, how confident are you feeling?
I never agreed to play against Bailey. Come on.
I'm a weaker opponent. You'll
yeah,
be
I
fine.
Think I think you've won, to be honest.
All right, cheers for having me on.
That's okay, though. What's your favourite Only Fools and Horses episode?
The whole collection, to be honest with you, James. I can pick out moments from loads, but it's just the whole thing. I can never get bored of watching any episode.
No, very true.
You must have a favourite episode. Yeah. You must. Or a favourite series.
Stranded on a desert island, you can take one episode.
Oh, just one episode.
Or even one scene.
Do you know what? I was thinking about this earlier. The scene from Dates when he's in the dating agency with Del
Boy. Okay. Oh, yeah, that is a good one.
Derek
Duval,
Derek
Duval. Mm.
Guaranteed a steak dinner.
That's it. Don't want to do too much of that travelling, Lark.
James, did you vote yesterday for what episode we'd be speaking about today in our podcast?
Do you know what? I didn't. I missed the vote, actually, but Chain Gang's decent. I'll go along with that. That's fine.
Is Chain Gang the one you would have voted for, or would you have gone a different way?
What were the other options?
From what I can remember, it was The Longest Night, Cash and Curry. Can you remember the other one?
Christmas Crackers.
Christmas Crackers.
Christmas Crackers was the other one, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I tell a lie, I did vote, and I voted for The Longest Night.
Yes, that's the one I really wanted
it's
to do.
It's me, Lennox Gilby.
It's one of my favourite episodes, and I thought that was going to win because it was doing really well at the beginning, but Chain Gang took over. But we're happy to talk about Chain Gang because it's a great episode.
Right, having talked about Chain Gang, this quiz is actually about Christmas Cracker as it's Christmas, boys.
You're pulling my leg.
Afraid not.
So our voters voted for Chain Gang. And they're
yeah, to watch, but this is a quiz, so it's completely different. It's a Christmas quiz.
This is a special Christmas quiz for the Christmas
festive quiz.
Time.
How are you on the Christmas cracker? You all right?
Well, I wish you told me this beforehand.
Wow, you know, we like to surprise you, James, don't we?
James, I have no idea either. I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, no one knew.
Don't worry.
My girlfriend wrote these.
I'll help you two out.
What is a female swan called? Right, okay. Question one for James. What is the name of the club Dale and Rodney go to on Christmas Day?
Oh, gosh. Throwing me into the deep end straight away, ain't you?
Stuck in the back of his brain.
Is it the Monte Carlo?
Correct.
Oh, yes. Wow. That was great.
Fantastic.
Right.
I didn't know that, actually.
Oh, well done, Tan. Right.
For once.
Question one for you, Bailey.
Yeah.
How much money does Dale give Grandad for Christmas? Is it A, a monkey, B, a score, or C, a pony?
A monkey.
I'm afraid the correct answer was a score, really.
I hate these money questions.
1-0 to James. Look at that. He's
storming this. There's still time. Yeah, James, there's still time.
Time on your hands.
Okay, question two for you, James. Nice. Who does Dale and Rodney bump into down the club?
Oh, it's the guy with the sick dad, isn't it?
And antibiotics.
Come on, there's nothing in the book.
I can't remember his answer. I guess is it Dick?
No, afraid not. Bailey, it's not for a point, but can I pass it over to you?
I think his name is Alec.
No, it's Earl. Alec's the travel agent. Earl.
Damn. Hello, Will.
Okay, Bailey, for you.
Okay.
Who are Brenda and Terry?
Oh, they are Shane. I can't think of the name.
God, you got it. I think. God, you got it.
Shane. I want to say Linda and Terry.
No, that's Brenda and Terry. Who are they? Who are Brenda and Terry?
Oh, right.
Is the question.
It's Brenda and Terry, isn't it? I don't know. James, do you know this one?
It's something like you know Brenda and Terry. They're like Shane's cousins or something like that.
Well, should I give the answer? It's Shirley, Shane and Sean's mum and dad.
Oh, it's close.
Oh.
Very close.
I thought these questions were easier than last
time. Well, they are easier than last time. Right.
My brain's not switched on.
Okay. This is for you, James. Is it James now? Yeah, it's James today. Yeah. How much did Dell pay for two drinks?
Oh, I think it's like 96p or something.
96p. Bailey?
I don't know. Let's go the whole half and make it a pair.
It's 98p. That's so
close.
Oh,
so close. So technically, I win because I'm closer.
No, you wouldn't get a point for it anyway.
No, both 2p.
Both 2, yeah. You do the math.
Okay. Bailey?
Yes.
What charity did Rodney choose for his Christmas card?
The Drug Rehabilitation Centre, wasn't it?
Yeah, could you give me a bit more?
That's all I can think of. That's all I can remember.
Do you know it, James?
No, I mean, that's pretty much spot on, isn't it? Surely, I think he's got it right.
Deptford Drug Addiction Centre. So it's pretty much. Maybe give half a point for that?
Half a point?
Half a
point. Three quarters of a point. It's Christmas.
Oh, it is Christmas. So maybe I'll give you half a point. So, question.
I'm going to lose anyway. Give me three quarters of a point.
All right. I'll give you two thirds of a point.
So what's the scores, George?
So it's one to two thirds of one.
All right.
So James is still winning. Okay. Next question for James. What is Grandad's Christmas dinner forte?
It's gravy.
Afraid not, James.
Oh, are you joking?
No, Bailey.
It's a dessert.
Yeah.
I think.
I know what it is.
Christmas pudding.
No. Do you want to have another guess, James?
Oh no, I thought it was Christmas pudding.
No, it's custard.
Ah, oh, you were close with your gravy.
Yeah,
it was probably the same consistency as custard.
Half point,
yeah. Next question for Bailey. Yeah. Why did Dale want to keep the turkey giblets?
Because he was going to give it to the lady downstairs' cat.
Yes, that's right. 1 point.
Can everyone clap me? Come on.
Okay. I'm holding the phone.
1 2/3 plays one.
Right, James, last question. Question number 5.
You're losing, James.
You are losing by 3/4 of a point.
I want to be third, lads. Come on.
Well, 2/3 of a point.
Two-thirds, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, everyone.
When was Christmas Crackers first screened? I'll take a date, a month and a year.
I would say a date. Sorry, say that again. You want a date and a month, did you say?
Let's have a month and a year.
A month and a year. Okay. Well, it'd have to be December, and it would have to be 1980. Two.
Oh, you're 1 year out, James.
Oh, 1983.
No, Bailey, you got it wrong as well. 1981.
You're right, getting
wrong way.
So, what's the final outcome?
Well, we're not. We've still got another question for Bailey now. Last question for Bailey.
Let's do it.
What colour is Dale's Christmas hat?
Red.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
This isn't to win, is it?
I'm already winning.
Oh, you're already winning. Okay. No, you're wrong. It's purple.
Damn.
Sorry, Bailey.
Oh, well.
Couldn't I have had a bonus shot at that one?
I'll tell you what. As it's Christmas, I've got a bonus question for you, James.
All right, go on then.
Okay. How many viewers did the episode have on the night it was first aired on the 28th of December, 1981?
Right, okay. Now, the first series didn't do very well.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to offer this out. I'll let you say one, then I'll let Bailey say one, and the closest to it gets a point. How about that?
Well, a minute, if he says one, Bailey's going to hear it, and he can say one more.
Well, no, it doesn't matter. It's up to them, isn't it? Go on, James.
All right,
I'll have to stab
at 6.2 million.
What's your guess, Bailey?
Probably around 6.3 million.
No, don't do that. Go on. No, go on.
No, I'm only messing about. Let's go for 8.6 million.
So 6.2
versus 8.6.
The correct answer is 7.5.
So, oh, no.
So you do the math.
So I think that's Bailey just about
6.2, 8.6, 7.
Can you
your original answer?
Well, that's it. Bailey's won.
Thanks, James. You're a good contestant.
James, thank you very much for coming on to our quiz.
No, fair play to you, lads. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, keep up the good work. It's always good to have a listen to you guys chatting about bulls and horses.
Cheers, mate. Thanks very much.
Have you got an impression?
Have you got a favourite?
Come along, Marley.
That's very good. Very good, James. Nice one.
That's really good.
James, hope you had a nice Christmas and Happy New Year to you. Thanks a lot, mate.
And to you boys as well. Happy New Year.
So yeah, take care, mate. Cheers. Buddy. Bye.
Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wonderful.
So it's a good episode, boys. Well, I enjoyed that. It was a nice Christmas special.
Yep.
It's been really fun, isn't it? It's been a bit of an eventful evening, isn't it, really, with everything that's going on, the Chinese, the Indian. sat around the table for a change, all sorts. Quiz.
When we return, we will be going back to series one, and I believe one the second time around episode.
Yes.
And who knows, we may have a special exclusive interview. So stay tuned.
Well, more information on that later. But we've got a busy new year.
We're not allowed to talk about the interview that we've got.
No, let's not talk about it yet until it's all confirmed 100% and we've done it.
Let's do a bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Happy New Year to all of our listeners.
Happy New Year.
Spread the word. Tell your friends about this podcast. Let's get it out there a little bit more. Like and share it. Find us on Facebook. What's our Facebook page, Bailey?
You can find us on Facebook if you type into the search bar, The Jolly Boys Podcast. And you can also find us on Twitter. Our handle is @OFA_podcast.
Yeah.
Ed, are we on Instagram?
We are on Instagram. And it's got a name of Only Fools N Horses with an underscore between each word.
That's so much more of an ergonomic way of doing it.
When you say N, do you mean N?
N for naughty, yes. I don't know why.
Yeah, download, subscribe, rate, send us feedback, email us, get in touch. Also, if anyone else wants to do the quiz against one of us, we've done Tom, we've done Bailey. Ed, do you want to go?
I'll be happy to.
Ed's next in the firing line. So if your listeners out there feel feeling lucky.
We've had a few people show some interest in that, but if they email us at theofapodcast@gmail.com with their contact details, and then we'll arrange a time with them when we're next recording. Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Thank you very much for your support. Bonne de douche and see you next year.
Wonderful.
We got some half price crack dice and miles of carpet tiles, TVs, deep freezing, David Bowie, LBs.